Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Daryl, obviously we do want to talk to you about the Browns. And then there was the story that came out this morning from ESPN saying that, you know, some of Baker's folks are saying, look, maybe they wanted to put him out there so he didn't look good. I don't know if you had a chance to read the story or not, but do you believe that statement? Just even as I tell you that was in the piece.
No, I don't. I don't think that the Browns intentionally tried to make Baker Mayfield look bad. But I've seen it. I've seen the excerpts, the stuff on Odell. You know, pretty compelling there. We talked about just how popular Odell was and what a good teammate he was behind the scenes. And you can kind of understand why a lot of teammates sided with Odell in the Odell v. Baker saga last year. So, but yeah, the notion that the Browns intentionally tried to make Baker Mayfield look bad, I don't think I can go there.
So, Daryl, we are at that part of the calendar, of course, which is we get past the draft and then comes the previous season Browns leaks. I think that's officially.
Hey, usually these happen in January, so at least we got until May.
That's true. They gave us a four-month reprieve. I appreciate them for such keeping their mouth shut for so long. The other part of this that really stood out to me, Daryl, was just how far the shoulder injury was, how long it was going on, and what ended up taking place. Who's at fault for this? And I feel like we've asked you this question 1,000 times. Who's at fault for continuing to put Baker Mayfield out there? Is it the coaching staff? Is it the medical staff? Or is it Baker Mayfield himself?
All the above.
Okay.
They all share the blame. What is clear is that Baker was not healthy enough to play in spite of what we were told week in and week out when we would ask the question. It's very clear he wasn't healthy enough to play. And then obviously when you watch how Baker played, obvious he couldn't do what they needed him to do for the team to be successful, and ultimately the results just were not there. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's fair to blame Kevin Stefanski and the coaching staff solely. I don't think it's fair to blame the Browns solely, and I don't think it's fair to blame Baker solely. I feel like they all share in the blame for him continuing on through the season playing with that particular injury, only missing one game in the middle of it, obviously, and then Baker deciding to sit out that season finale. But they all share the blame for him playing through that and just what a disaster that season turned into as a result of him going out there week in and week out trying to play hurt.
Daryl, Pro Football Talk had another story today, too, talking about imposing discipline under the new personal conduct policy. And there's a point to this piece that I hadn't heard before, because I thought ultimately whoever the arbiter is could make a statement, try to impose the discipline, and if the commissioner didn't like it, the commissioner could change it. After reading this other story, if the disciplinary officer issues a decision that says there is no penalty, that's the end of it. The commissioner has no say. But if the disciplinary officer says there's a even if it's like a fine of $100, the commissioner can come back and go, nah, it's $1,000, or the disciplinary officer might say it's 4 games. The commissioner can go back and go, nah, it's 1. Or the commissioner can go back and go, no, it's a whole season. So what are your thoughts on that? And, you know, it gets into the CBA a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean, look, the commissioner's powers are wide-ranging, and he has latitude when it comes to the player discipline and violations of policy, unlike the substance abuse policy, which is very specifically laid out, not only the type of substances that could trigger discipline and whatnot, but just what specifically the discipline would be for, whatever instance there is. So, yeah, the commissioner's got a lot of power. That's the way it's always been in the National Football League. I still think, though, what's most important here is that he's not the one making the decision out of the gate, that this is being handled independent of him. And, yeah, he does have, I guess a first right of refusal as far as the discipline goes, whether or not he agrees with what was handed down, whether it was sufficient enough or if it was too harsh. You know, he, as the commissioner, has the right to modify that discipline.
Our Browns beat reporter Daryl Ryder joining us courtesy of Scheibe Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. All right, I'm going to ask the last Baker Mayfield question, and I swear I'm going to move on from here, Daryl, because I'm so done with it. Where are we in the Baker Mayfield saga? Is this just the waiting process to hope somebody gets hurt that they can trade him, or is there possibly a buyout or something like that to come?
I don't think they're going to buy him out. They're going to sit back and let this thing happen. They're going to just wait it out. So I think there's a very good chance training camp, he'll still be on the roster. And maybe they say to him, hey, you don't have to come to Berea. Stay in Texas. We're trying to find you a team. Because I think that's where the distraction comes in. Right now, there is no distraction. The only distraction is that the organization's answering questions about it, and they have been very uniform in their response. You heard Kevin Stefanski, as well as Andrew Berry on the station this week, basically give the same answers throughout the draft every day. We asked about the Baker situation. We got the same answers. They've been very, very uniform in their response. Andrew Berry's very calculated. Right now, quite frankly, not a lot of value there on the trade market, not a lot of demand. So he's got to wait for value to present itself, because his job isn't to appease us, isn't to appease fans by just getting rid of Baker Mayfield. His job now, you have to think of Baker Mayfield as an asset, okay? And it's his job to flip that asset into something that benefits the Cleveland Browns. So if that means he's got to just sit back and wait for something to happen around the league to create a bit of a market for Baker, that's exactly what he's going to do, and it looks like that's exactly what he intends to do.
Something as I was reading your stories at 923thefan.com, we could have a change in upper management, or at least an addition to upper management.
There is a chance here. And Philadelphia, too, is restructuring their front office, which this happens throughout the NFL. Time and again. Now, the Browns aren't restructuring their front office. They, quite frankly, they have an opening because Adofu Mensah, he is the general manager now of the Minnesota Vikings. So as the vice president of football operations with the Browns, well, they kind of don't have one right now. And so Andrew Berry is exploring the possibility of bringing in Catherine Raich for a spot in his front office. Maybe not necessarily a direct replacement for Kwesi, but to assume a lot of those responsibilities. Maybe they give her the title of like an assistant general manager or VP / assistant GM, whatever language they come up with. But it's looking like they're going to try and bring her in from Philadelphia. Berry and Raich worked together for the year that he was with the Eagles. She's very well respected around the league. There are some in the league that believe that she will ultimately become the first female general manager in the NFL. She's on that type of a trajectory, so would be a very strong addition to the Browns front office, and yet another groundbreaking hire for the Browns as well, who have shown their commitment to diversity and inclusion. Callie Brownson, she is Kevin Stefanski's chief of staff. She's also an assistant position coach. This year, she's, I believe, working with the wide receivers. And then they also have a scout as well Megan Rock, who's their player personnel coordinator, too. Kathleen Wood is the area scout that I was thinking of. So the Browns have been amongst the forefront of teams in the NFL when you talk about diversity and inclusion and the type of personnel they hire. And like I said, this would be another landmark hire for the franchise.
Where are we on Jadeveon Clowney watch?
I'm not watching anything.
Okay.
if they sign him, they sign him. If they don't, they don't.
Beautiful.
I mean, still out there. Look, I think what's going on is that you've got some guys, and Kevin Stefanski made this point in his conversation with Dustin Fox and Jason Lloyd, that I think a lot of guys saw the offseason program and just the fact that they didn't have it for a couple of years because of COVID. I don't think some guys are really in a hurry to sign on the dotted line and jump into an offseason program and have to show up for a mandatory minicamp in June. So, look, I think there's a chance you could have some rather big-name guys like, Clowney still out there after the minicamps wrap up. And then maybe they sign and get themselves ready for training camp, 6 weeks after that. But, I think the Browns are open to bringing him back, but it just doesn't look like there's, much urgency by anyone right now to sign contracts of these remaining free agents. It's actually pretty surprising.
Same to be said with Jarvis, Darrell?
I don't think Jarvis is coming back. I think that's a different situation. The Browns don't seem like they are all that motivated to bring Jarvis back. As we talked about on the podcast, it's Amari Cooper and the kids. They've invested four draft picks in 3 years, I should say, in the position. Jakeem Grant was signed this offseason as well. Never say never about adding a vet, but yeah, it seems like they're going to go with Amari Cooper and really give Donovan Peoples-Jones and Anthony Schwartz some meaningful reps to an opportunity to take that next step in their career. We've seen glimpses and flashes from both players early on in their careers. Haven't seen a lot of consistency because they haven't gotten a lot of consistent opportunity as well. And I think this year they're going to make it a point to give both of those players consistent opportunities and, to be that number two receiver behind Cooper.
Darrell, no shot on OBJ either. I mean, I never ruled it in, but after reading that piece this morning, it made OBJ look like a saint while he was here.
Well, and look, I'm the first to admit when I was wrong and when I'm wrong. And look, my OBJ take last year, a lot of because I just did not know some of the stuff that has come to light at the time. Odell was beloved in that locker room, and it certainly now makes sense why the reaction from players about Odell when they were asked about the situation last year. It all makes sense now. And so not to place blame on Baker, but it really seems like, Baker was a big part of the problem between those two. So I admit I misread that entire situation. I don't have a lot of time for pettiness and that. And it's like the focus needs to be on winning football. And if you don't want to be here, then don't be here anymore. And hearing some of the stuff that I've heard, reading some of the stuff that has come out concerning that particular situation, you can understand why Odell did not want to be here and why his dad ultimately did what he did. I still don't agree with it. I don't agree with how it was handled, but certainly I have a much greater understanding for it today than I did when I was more than happy to run Odell out of town and get him onto a team that he wanted to be at. So can understand why he didn't want to be here with some of that stuff that was going on.
Darrell, Jeff's not here, so we're allowed to have nerdy fun talk. Do you have your Doctor Strange tickets?
No, I don't go. I will be waiting for a Sunday morning when there's nobody in the theater, because that's the last place I want to be, is in a theater with a bunch of people that I don't know who are just going to annoy the you-know-what out of me for 2 hours.
Wow. That's the kind of stuff I want to hear on the podcast. Darrell, has the podcast feedback been good?
It has been good. And you can follow us on Twitter as well. We do have a Twitter account, Game Day CLE. Because we're going to, at some point, make the podcast interactive as well. So you'll be able to tweet at us, ask us questions, and we'll dive in and, answer some of those questions for you on the podcast as well. Yeah, I'm not into the movie theater thing right now. It's just, we're still kind of in this thing. So when, in 6 months or so, maybe I'll go back to the theater.
Darryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, the superstar of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland.
And resident curmudgeon.
Depends on the day. Depends where you're living, too.
Right.
Darryl, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll be listening for you on the podcast always, and we'll listen to you. And reading your stuff, too, at 92.3thefan.com, too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.